This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Reptile Report. We're talking about snakes. We're not talking about ordinary snakes. We're talking about extremely venomous snakes. Number one is the Great Eastern Brown Snake. Very aggressive. Looks like a stick, moves very fast, and attacks. The Red-Bellied Black Snake is the other one I know about. We're going to begin with the Red-Bellied Black Snake because it's summertime when it's not snowing. And that means a lot of people out on the golf course until... Jeremy, this looks like a send-up, but it's real, right? This happened.
That's exactly right. And, John, what has happened here is basically a red-bellied black snake has found itself in a home on a golf course, here in Sydney. And what happened was on any given day, you know, there's red-bellied black snakes near ponds, near lakes, near waterways, and you know where to look for them. But what happened in this particular location here in Sydney is that on this day, some golfers were out just having a normal round. They're out there, you know, just doing their thing. And lo and behold, when they came across one of the holes there on the green, they peered in and there was a red-bellied black snake. Now, this is really unprecedented. We've never seen a red-bellied black snake on a golf course in a hole before. And I mean, they do like the warmth. They do like to keep warm. But the fact is that this snake, which red-bellied black snakes can get up to 2 meters in length, so about 6 feet. This one in particular looks like it's around about 4 foot. So it was very much a teenager going into adulthood. And they're fairly thick. So the fact that this snake could actually get itself into the size of basically a hole on a golf course alone is quite a miracle. And I mean, it barely moved initially. So when they came up upon it, this shows you how dangerous these red bellies are. They aren't quick to get out of your way. So if you trot on it, for example, it would strike. But John, this is truly amazing. I mean, I've never seen a snake on a golf course, let alone one in one of the holes.
Yes, we'd have to say that this 18-hole golf course is now a 17-hole golf course. You concede everything because you don't want to fetch your ball out of the way of a red-bellied black snake. We come now to a photograph. I can only describe it as it looks like a lot of foliage, and the challenge is to find the snake here. I can't find it, Jeremy, meaning I don't want to go into the foliage in Australia. This would be especially dangerous to plunge in there, as that young man did on an island we reported a couple of weeks ago, without proper boots. I would say that I would want a hazmat suit to go into this foliage. Can you find the snake?
You know what, John? I did eventually, and it's only because I know the trick to this photo and what snakes look for. And I think this is a fantastic photo, John. And just to describe it a bit, it's very a green area. It's got a lot of foliage. There's a swimming pool just to the top end of the photograph there with some brickwork along it. And this, again, points out the fact that when you're walking through dense scrubland, you can't expect to ever see the actual snakes that you're going to tread on. They just blend in so well. And now, spoiler alert, I'll tell you where the snake is. If you look to the top part of the corner there, the snake itself is just coming out of the greenery, heading towards the swimming pool, walking or basically sliding across the brickwork there. The reason I knew that would probably be the best place to look is because snakes, generally when they're found near swimming pools, it's because of the water source. They can smell the water and they come out for a drink. And also, they generally try to go across the warmer parts of the swimming pool. So again, look at the brickwork, you'll generally find the snake because a lot of this green foliage, the warmth isn't really retained. It's kind of released quickly to the air. So that's why snakes like that brown, dry, sort of dead foliage to actually hide in those wood piles, which is where a lot of people get bitten. So in this case, John, if you do look at dead center at the top, you'll actually see its little head poking out heading towards the pool. But you imagine you're walking through the Australian bushland. You're looking up, you're trying not to, I guess, poke your eye out on all the sticks and the low-hanging trees and all the shrubbery around you. There's really no chance that you'll see that until you're pretty much upon it or you actually feel it bite.
Jeremy, mate, I'm not going in there. You go right ahead. I'm not. I see nothing. I absolutely see nothing. If you can find, is it a brown snake? Can you tell?
It actually looks more like probably a tree snake. And the reason it looks like a tree snake is it has a slimmer body and its head's actually larger than its body, whereas brown snakes, the heads are about the same size as the body and it has a much browner hue. Whereas this one, it looks a little bit darker gray. The lighting could, you know, be hiding the brown, but I think I can see a very pale underside too, which tends to indicate it's a tree snake. But as we always say, if in doubt, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be doing this, just don't touch it. I mean, if you don't know what it is, and even if you think you know what it is, just leave the snake be.
Now, there is a warning about how many people get bitten in one summer. It's a lot. It's a big number. And not all snake bites are reported, correct, Jeremy? These are just the official statistics.
And that's right. These are the ones where people have actually sought medical attention, or they've actually called the snake catcher and the snake catcher has recommended that they seek medical attention. And I think, John, this again goes to a lot of what we're talking about, that here in Australia, while snakes are interesting and a curiosity in some ways, because, I mean, they will kill you. They're a dangerous thing. And it's kind of exciting to know that there is a lot of snake bites. Now, in Queensland alone, this year, there's been at least 100 snake bites reported, and this is because people have had to seek medical attention because these 100 bites have all been venomous. And I dare say that probably maybe 90%, if not more, were all on the verge of where if somebody hadn't have got that medical attention, they probably would have died from them, which is why they've been recorded. But there's been other estimates that people who have been lucky enough to not get medical attention and survive and basically don't ever report the snake bites, the number could actually be double that. But I mean, John, 100 people in the space of, you know, just this year alone. And I say it's only this snake season, so it's really only since the last week in September until now. That shows you that the snakes are out in force, because this number is also higher than it's ever been before. It's probably about 20 to even 30%, some estimates say, higher than we've seen. And again, this goes back to something we've spoken about a lot. The flooding, the weather, the unusual climate has actually meant there's a lot more snakes out there. They're in more unusual areas, some displaced by the floods, some just generally trying to find another place to live because of the booming snake population in Queensland. People are not expecting to see snakes in some places. And unfortunately, as this story points out, people are getting bitten.
Yes, a six-year-old man from Lockyer Valley died after he was bitten on the hand by what was suspected to be a brown snake, so he didn't get to attention. There is actually something called the Australian Reptile Academy that gives lessons in how to deal with venomous snakes. Here's the first advice. Run. That would be my first lesson. You see a snake, go the opposite direction. However, there's a nice piece of advice from a biologist, Christina Zdenek. Don't try to kill a snake. For one, it's illegal to kill a snake. For two, it's barbaric. For three, we need snakes to keep rats out of crops, and it's a good sign of a healthy ecosystem. All good advice, Jeremy. And especially the part of the advice that I take is, Jeremy goes first, okay? Jeremy goes first. I wear very high boots, and I stay away from foliage that I can't look into, right? That's good advice?
That is good advice, except the part where I go first. I'll be probably going first, but very cautiously and very, very slowly, because as I've spoken before, I grew up next to a national park and I've had encounters with brown snakes, and I don't wish it on anybody. They are sneaky and terrifying creatures.
Now, I want to listen to Dr. Christina Zdenek, but there is a photograph of her smiling at a snake. It worries me. It worries me. However, one more snake story, and this is spectacular. A snake on a roof. Jeremy, you have familiarity with this where you grew up, right? Snakes like roofs. They like to lie out in the sun. Is that correct?
That's correct. I grew up in a house that had a corrugated iron roof, which got very warm in summertime. And on numerous occasions over many summers, we actually had brown snakes that would sun themselves on the roof. They would shimmy themselves up the drain pipe normally. And lo and behold, you'd drive down the driveway, which was slightly higher than the roof as you sort of came down. And you would see sometimes a 5 to 6 foot brown snake on the roof. And the worst part was they had to creep into the house, because if you made a noise, and I made the mistake of doing this one time, is if the snake felt threatened, it would actually come towards you. It would rear its head and look like it would almost try and jump off the roof, which is something that, of course, you didn't want. And probably the scariest part always was you could never figure out where the snake went, because as soon as you disturbed it, it disappeared somewhere around the house. So, of course, we kept the doors locked. We kept all the seals and basically well kept under the doors so that the snakes couldn't come inside. But snakes on a roof, John, is something I'm very intimate with.
Now, the wonderful Walt Disney movie Dumbo has a song. I can only repeat the words. I've seen about everything when I've seen an elephant fly. I would add, I've seen about everything when I've seen a snake fly. There's a video attached to this explanation a man took from what I take it is a smartphone. Jeremy, do you see what I see? Is that snake flying? Did it coil itself for the leap?
I do see exactly what you see, John, and I can actually tell you, yes, it did. And this happened in Moreton Bay up in Queensland. So again, it's a very touristy area, an area where you get a lot of people visiting from overseas. So it's not out of the way. It's not a rural part of Australia by any means. And what this snake has done is it has got itself onto the roof for the exact reason that it's trying to warm its body up. It's basically just trying to keep itself healthy. But what's happened here is the snake is now trying to, either because it's threatened or for whatever other reason, trying to get down again. And having seen that there's no clear way down, it's decided that it is going to jump. Because, John, snakes do actually naturally jump. In this case, as the video is captured articulately there, the snakes, when they jump, they know where they want to land, and they figure out in their own sort of mind how much pressure and how much spring they need to get there. So this thing is actually coiled back like any spring, I guess you could say, and then release the energy with such force that it's actually managed to clear between 1 to 2 to maybe even 3 meters away from its original starting point and landed on the ground away from the house. This is a jumping snake, and unfortunately, this isn't unusual for a snake. So, John, honestly, we have to watch out for them on the ground. You have to watch out for them, you know, wrapped around trees, but you also have to watch out for them in the air as well.
There is a debate among paleontologists about how reptiles came to fly. Were they natural flyers? Were they throwing themselves off cliffs and gliding? Or were they taking a long run up to a ramp, like a stump, and then going straight up and then throwing their wings out? There's that debate. Having watched that snake fling itself into the air, he must be, what, 10, 12 feet off the ground. He's from a roof. And headed out, I'm going to guess it was about a 10-foot leap. I couldn't tell exactly. And land, if he'd had wings, he could have thrown himself off and glided to where he wanted to go.
And that's true. And in fact, there are other reports too, and unfortunately none have been captured on camera, where snakes have actually leapt a lot further than that. And specifically the brown snake. The brown snake seems to be able to coil itself much more than a lot of other snakes here in Australia, where they've actually gone 4 to 5 meters. They've actually jumped out of trees, and they've actually come in pretty close, especially around campsites in areas where you don't expect them. And that's part of the reason why sometimes two snakes end up in unusual parts in cars, because what scientists believe occurs sometimes is that snakes do take those flying leaps out of the trees, especially at the nighttime when they're trying to get to the warm ground quickly, and they're landing on the tops of cars, and they get tangled up if it has a roof rack, for example, in unusual parts in the car, and which is why, you know, the owners come to the car in the morning, and lo and behold, there's a snake somewhere in the wheel well or somewhere tied up where it shouldn't be. So flying snakes in Australia, it's not an urban myth, it's reality, but the fact is somebody actually captured this one so well that it shows you that these things are dangerous even from the air.
All right, don't walk in the foliage. Don't walk under a tree. In fact, don't. Remember, everything exotic in Australia will try to kill you. Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales. Time for a cricket lesson. The Australians are getting ready, and they're training hard with someone who represents a threat to them from the Indian team. When we come back, this is the Friends of History Debating Society. With Jeremy Zakas, I'm John Batchelor.